to the program. Now, I've got no sympathy for Michael Taylor or anyone else when drugs are concerned. He'll be another AFL player who needs more counselling and support, and I dare say it'll be a health issue. This game has spent millions of dollars on education, and there's still players don't get it or don't want to get it. Taylor will get a $5,000 suspended fine for a first strike. At least Taylor has been exposed after being caught by police. All first strikes should be named, for there is more chance of rehab being successful through embarrassment and facing the public. It's a good reason to pull your head in. The secrecy of the first-time positives that the game supports will never get the tough message across like a public shaming. I'm KB. That's my take.
You either got a mental health problem or a substance problem, or you're taking the piss. That's where I'm leaning at the moment, Marco. I haven't heard anything on the contrary. But you're taking the absolute mickey out of the whole policy.
From my own point of view, I just believe that's the best way we can do it. You know, the way we best help players, you know. I think the key is that player welfare is some of the issues that people have around the whole drug scenario. For mine, I think players get get great treatment and get great help from their own clubs, their own coaches and their own teammates. So I think zero policy works. It helps them get better, I believe.
This drives me absolutely bananas. Now, I'm a clean skin and people can say you're a wowser, you've never lived a day in your life, half or whatever. I don't care. But how many times, how many chances, what does it take for players to understand their responsibility when it comes to this type of activity?
Good question, and just heard from Daniel Harford there, what does it take? Ken Hinckley also talked to the boys on the run home last night as well. Have you got any sympathy for Michael Taylor? Do you reckon secrecy works in the AFL? I don't think it works. I think first strike, 6 weeks. Second strike is 12 weeks, of course, and then after that, if you get a third strike, well, then we put you out for 2 years because you've got some serious problems. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us, taking your calls. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433981116 if you want to send through an SMS. And also, don't forget, our best caller today in the program goes along to that President's Luncheon on Friday night. It's going to be an absolute killer dealer worth $425. It's for two, so $850, and you can be there at the Collingwood President's Luncheon come Friday night. Patrick Smith will join us, 0433981116 if you want to send through an SMS. If you want to tweet, at KevinBartlett29. Or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Also, Michelangelo Ritchie will join us, find out whether Adelaide has any weaknesses at all. Port Adelaide, of course, now maybe true believers. We'll catch up with Neil Cordy, the former Dogs and Swans star, who these days, of course, for many years has worked for the Daily Telegraph. He will join us and talk about Michael Taylor and all things Sydney Swans as well. Phil Rockner, the Tour de France update, and Steve Salisbury, American sports rap, and then Dr. Turf. As you know, we'll be quirky and very, very antagonistic, taking your calls after 11. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Well, sir, Kevin, you really like living life on the edge, don't you? Get everybody confident again, get everybody believing, and believing in what he wants to do. He's going to be a very good coach. For them to show the fight back that they did in the second half, I think deserved a standing ovation. I'm in awe. I'm a Greg Norman. I'm in awe of you.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Any sympathy for people like Michael Taylor or any AFL footballer, Pat, that gets involved in drugs in any shape or form?
In 2005, when they introduced this system, I said it was a stupid system. Wouldn't do the job they were seeking it to do. I'm certainly not changing my mind with the news from yesterday. What they've done is they've taken a complete slab of academic advice about the best way to treat people who will take tablets and pills and drugs, but that doesn't apply, Kevin, to a football industry. It might apply to an office, but it doesn't apply to a football team where you've got all your teammates or your peers and you're in each other's company all the time. The only thing that works there is naming and shaming.
Well, I think that, Pat. I mean, in the past, of course, it's all been about secrecy. Mm. Well, I don't think secrecy works.
Well, why would it? I mean...
And being anonymous, let's face it, because Taylor has been caught by police, he's no longer anonymous, the same as Tom Liberatore wasn't anonymous. Tom Liberatore has come out of that and he's finished up, he's won a best and fairest for the Western Bulldogs. So, what was the point of keeping things secret?
Yeah, well, and the double standard. You get named and shamed if you got caught by the police or somebody sees you in public and they have a picture of you. If the AFL...
Catches you.
Silent. nothing.
It doesn't make sense, does
they
it?
They hide you, they bury you, they do everything they can to keep your name out of the public. It's simply... and the other thing, Kevin, is this... Oh, we've got to protect the players. This is the system to ensure that the players are protected. And as soon as they get to two strikes, bang, you're named. Mm. So where's the protection? I mean, we'll protect you so long as what?
Well, as long as you don't have two strikes.
Two strikes.
That's what I'm saying, Pat. To me, zero policy. I mean, how simple would the zero policy be? How simple would that be?
Everybody would know.
Everyone knows. Yep. There's naming and
take
shaming.
Take the drug, get caught.
Surely there's an embarrassment. Yep. Surely you've got to face the public. Surely it's a pretty good reason to pull your head in.
Yep.
It pulls you up in your tracks, doesn't it?
Yep. It's the worst policy. It was the worst policy that the AFL has ever put together.
Well, that's if you want that policy, Pat. If you don't want that, don't worry about it.
In 2005, it was the worst policy. And it was only, remember, Kevin, you've got to remember why it's there. It was there to get around WADA. And then they couldn't get around WADA, so pig-headedly the AFL stuck with this illicit drug policy, which in many ways, I don't know why the players said, yeah, you can test us for drugs.
Why don't they dump it, Pat?
Oh, I think they're too proud, Kevin.
But why not dump it? Let's face it, and I've spoken to you about this before, and also with the fans, because WADA and ASADA, they're not interested in illicit drugs. All they're interested in is what takes place on match day. So if we want a bunch of players running around taking illicit drugs, well, if they want to do that, and we've spent millions and millions of dollars, and we're still not getting anywhere because we've seen the figures on hair testing coming through, well, why not just say, okay, it's open slather, you can take as many illicit drugs as you like, and we'll just keep catching as many people as we can on match day.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't think that...
Is there anything wrong with that thinking?
Kevin, they'll keep this policy till the death because...
But why?
Because... They've fought so hard for it. They've suffered. They've lost so much skin in battles over this that they will, pride alone, will force the AFL to stay with it. And it's a comfort to the players. The players won't get rid of it because it's their camouflage.
Well, but you don't need a camouflage, Pat, if we don't have an illicit drugs policy.
That's what I'm saying.
Do we need an illicit drugs policy now? Because, obviously, it's all about protecting players. Even if we catch them, we don't want to catch them. No one ever got three strikes, Pat. We've had people playing the game, that, such as Ben Cousins, never got caught, never got a strike. If we catch you, it's going to be in secrecy at the same time. It's all about protection. So why bother with it at all, Pat?
It's brand protection, Kevin. It's.
But we won't know about the brand protection because unless they get caught on match day, no one's going to know about it, Pat.
Well, they will. The point of the policy from the AFL is, if they can control this thing, if they can control the drug issue...
We can't control drugs, Pat. We're not a drug agency.
No, I'm...
Not a welfare organisation.
Sure, I'm not making that argument. No. I'm trying to say what the AFL's position would be. But, Kevin, I've been the biggest critic of the...
You have?
From day one.
Well, I want to ask the fans, and in fact, I'm going to start a poll on this at Hungry for Sport. Does the AFL actually need an illicit drugs policy at all? Just a yes or no, go to at Hungry for Sport. Because, Pat, it seems to me now, there's no point having an illicit drugs policy. We operate under WADA, we operate under ASADA now. I know that they were going to run their own drugs policy originally. WADA and ASADA, they go out and test people. They're not interested in cocaine, they're not interested in speed or any of those other...
They don't even test for it at a competition.
They're not even worried about it.
No.
All they're worried about is if you turn up on match day with it in your system, then you'll get 2 years. Mm. But apart from that, we don't give two hits. They could test Usain Bolt and he could have cocaine in his system. They're not worried about it. But if he runs at the Diamond League with cocaine in his system, he won't run for 2 years.
Yep.
I want to take some calls on this, 9429 1116, because we never seem to get this drug issue right in the game of AFL football. Vince is in Mill Park. G'day, Vince.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Vince. What's your answer?
Just in regard, there should be zero policy. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. They should be named and shamed, and obviously through club counselling and through the AFL, they've become a better person through it. I mean, obviously, they're professional and it shouldn't go on.
What about, Vince, zero policy, zero tolerance, or no illicit drugs policy? Which one would you choose? Zero tolerance or no illicit drug policy?
No illicit drug.
Okay, no illicit drugs. So we don't have to worry about that zero tolerance then, Pat. Vince, thanks for your call. Nick is in Geelong. G'day, Nick.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Nick.
Cool. Just a quick question about the technicality on the Atali situation. So was he actually, has he actually tested positive to the cocaine he was found with?
No, it's not a positive test.
So how's he issued with the first strike by the AFL? On the
because possession is a strike.
Yeah.
They treat possession as a strike.
And that's my understanding is what happened with
Michael Talley.
Tom Libertore, I think, too.
Yeah.
There was a tablet found on him or something along those lines.
Thus it becomes a strike.
A first strike. Nick, thanks for that. Andrew's in Reservoir. G'day, Andrew.
Good morning, Kevin and Patrick. Look, when Mr. McLaughlin got in when Mr. Demetrio left, I thought part of his mantra originally was doing everything possible for the fans to get them back re-engaged with the game. And I'm pretty sure most of the fans would like to know when people are transgressing. And their current policy, as Patrick has said back from 2005, was an absolute joke. And their current policy pretty much is too. So if we really want, they can't be paid this sort of money in their workplace, it wouldn't be tolerated. They'd have no chance. They'd be out.
But I suppose the question also I'm throwing up here, Andrew, is we can either have zero tolerance, as you're talking about, and I've been speaking about in the past also, or now I'm starting to think, well, do we need an illicit drug policy at all? Because, you know, it's all about secrecy, and if we can hide it from everyone, and we know players have been taking drugs in the past, and, you know, I don't know, no one seems to get caught, Pat, or named, or shamed or rubbed out of the game.
Well, so we don't know. In fairness, we don't know whether the players, how many players have been caught. We do know that.
Oh, no, but I'm named and shamed, I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. In fairness, players have had enough strikes that they've gone into rehabilitation.
Yes, you broke that story. We didn't know about that, Pat.
And they weren't allowed to play. They were going for weeks without playing and under dodgy, you know, knee or something like that. But they were actually stood down by the AFL because they had gone into rehabilitation.
Okay. I want to find out.
It's just more deceit, by the way.
Well, what would you like, Pat, now? Would you like to see a zero tolerance or no illicit drug policy at all?
No, I think for the safety of players, you don't want players high as kites running around on the training track. I would have an illicit drugs policy and I would have zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance. You know what, Pat? I'm leaning now to no illicit drug policy.
Well, I think there's still, you've still got to protect the players. You've still got to protect the players, Kevin. You know, there was a time at Carlton where two players.
How much protection can you give people, Pat?
You've got to protect players who are doing the right thing, Kevin. The players that are doing the right thing don't want to be on a training track with a bloke who's topped up on ice.
Well, that's the club. If the club sees someone acting in that particular manner, well, let the club work out what's going on.
You could absolutely have let the clubs run a policy.
No, don't run a policy. You don't need a policy, Pat.
Okay.
At the poll, Hungry for Sport, does the AFL need illicit drug policy at all? At the moment, it's 58% yes, no, 42%.
If players are paying such scant attention to this, Kevin,
yes.
Do you think it affects their push for a set percentage, a bigger percentage of... If they're so blasé about a rule that is costing the AFL millions, why are we going to give them more money?
Well, I suppose what they'd be saying is that they're putting on a show, Patrick. I don't think that...
Well, they certainly are at nightclubs.
Yeah, well, they might be, but they're putting on a show. So what I'm saying is they can put on that show. I don't know whether that's going to make any difference to what money they get or percentage, but...
But should it? If you're paying so little attention to this fundamental rule, how dare you come into this office and ask for money?
Well, I think this is another reason why you say, well, we don't need an illicit drugs policy, because if we've got all these players, the hair testing that we've been told, Pat, everyone's out there having the time of their lives, if that's the case, if you believe half those figures.
Well, it appears so, yeah.
It appears so. So, therefore, that's their lifestyle. They want to use that lifestyle. That's the lifestyle they want to live. Now, all it means is, Pat, is that they better not turn up on match day because they got a bit blasé because they keep taking drugs because there's no illicit drugs policy. But you know what? It'd be bloody good to catch a few on match day, Pat. That'd shake a few up.
Yes, it'll see the end of them for 4 years.
Yes, and then we'd see how many, whether or not they want to rein in illicit drugs policy. That in itself, Pat, might be a greater deterrent than running an illicit drugs policy.
Possibly, yep.
This is... Yep. This, okay, I'll take more of your calls. I know you want to have your say. This hour, all thanks to Open Corp. Invest in property and be mentored for life.
Linda Forklifts, material handling equipment experts for Australian businesses, and Mercedes-Benz Brighton. Think Mercedes-Benz, think Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
26 minutes past 9, our best caller this morning is going to win the double pass to Collingwood versus North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium this Friday night. Included is the dinner to the President's Function pre-game, and these tickets are valued at $425 each, so you get a double. All thanks to Subway for the warm and hearty steak, bacon and cheese sub. Joe has joined us in Coburg. G'day, Joe.
G'day, gents. How are you?
Good, Joe.
Good. I've got a couple of points, but I'll answer your question second, Kevin, if that's okay.
Yes.
The AFL is happy to name and shame anything interpreted as a racist comment. They're happy to name and shame anything interpreted as a homophobic comment or a misogynist comment. Now, they might not actually be those, but as long as they're interpreted that way, they will name and shame you. The important thing here is these actions aren't illegal.
And if you drink and gamble, we'll name you too.
You name and shame, correct. Now, these things aren't illegal. Now, in order to play AFL footy, this is where I'll answer your question, Kevin. You know, 30% of the kids who make AFL get there on their raw talent alone. I would say probably 70% get there through hard work and through sacrifice. And in order to make AFL, you have to be able to do that. So I think there has to be a zero tolerance policy. And if you are caught taking an illegal substance, it needs to be, you know, you need to get an automatic 2-year ban. And why aren't these things referred to the police? I mean, if the AFL found out that a player was hitting his wife, I guarantee you that would be referred to the police. I just don't get it with the drugs. I don't get why they are so soft on it. Are they scared of a player revolt that these guys can't go out and do it? I just don't get it. I really don't. And I have trouble explaining to my 9-year-old kid why, you know, players are continually on the back page taking drugs and nothing seems to happen.
Yes, because they'll argue it's a health issue. They'll argue it's a health issue. We need to look after the boy so that he doesn't come to greater harm. A racist remark is not a health issue. Now, I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's the AFL's position.
And is it also, Pat and Joe, a bit hard to prosecute too? Because even if you're found with substances on you, I mean, who put it on you? I don't know. It was there. I was at a nightclub. Someone spiked a drink or someone put it in my pocket. I don't know. It's not easy, is it, Pat?
Well, it's pretty. It seems to be pretty plain sailing in the case that we're talking about. But I think it's not about that. It's about it. They claim it's a health issue. Therefore, they need to look after the player. And the best way to do that is effectively in secret. As for people who have a punt or have a drink, who may well be a gambler-holic, or a alcoholic, they're just name and shamed, even though they're both illnesses as severe as drug addiction.
Well, I've said to you in the past, Pat, whatever you do drugs in AFL football, but whatever you do, don't gamble and don't drink.
No, because you're front page then.
You'll be front page.
Even if the gamble is a dollar.
Yes, you'll be front page.
Yeah.
Or if you tell your mum, you might play it full forward.
That's right. God help you.
You'll get fined $10,000 for that. Yes. Matthew's in Ormond. G'day, Matthew.
Hi, guys. I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to solve a much bigger problem with a very narrowly focused drugs policy. And the bigger issue is that there are drugs in our society, in particularly in the sort of youth part of our society and young men, which is basically what the footballers are. And so everyone in that, or a lot of people within that sector of the community, are taking drugs. So you're asking them to do something that no one else is doing and then try and handle that with a policy that is only narrowly focused on the drugs, whereas the much bigger problem is the fact that the drugs are out there and people are taking them. So by making a policy that puts them in trouble for taking those things, you're asking them to hide it.
No, Matthew, aren't we doing, since 2005, it's now 2016, aren't we simply asking for a better policy than the one that's in place? Because the one that's
or
no policy, which is your position, Kevin. But we're asking for a better policy. because this one isn't working.
Well, it costs a lot of money, Pat. I mean, we could
Cost the millions over the years.
We could put that
Kevin.
Money to much, much better causes than, you know, player education and, you know, counselling and all that sort of stuff, Pat. Because
it sounds so lame,
work.
Kevin.
It doesn't work.
It is now lame. When the AFL tells its football community, yes, there's a certain player, if you get a strike, we send them to counselling. It's just such a hollow comment now. Talia, he'll get a $5,000 fine.
Suspended fine, won't it?
Suspended fine.
Yep.
And then be sent to Kevin, where will he be sent? To counselling.
Of course he will.
So I think that's just running hollow with people in the community now. Now, Matthew's absolutely right. There is a big drug issue with the age group that's playing football. So we need to tackle it. What we're saying, or at least what I'm saying, is that was never the right policy they put in place. And every year, we see that it is a failed policy.
Do we need to tackle the drug policy, drug situation, Pat? Because to me, AFL football is a sport. It puts on a game. Australian rules football. You won't. They're not a drug welfare agency. Drugs cost billions of dollars around the world, Pat, in trying to keep it under control. The AFL is not in that league, not in that class. It runs a football competition. Leave that to other people. But certainly on match day, performance enhancing, if that helps you perform better on match day, because we're running a sport, the same as WADA does and ASADA does with sport all around the world, we will rub you out for 4 years now. That's the penalty.
Yeah, Kevin, I think there are lots of firms and industries that do test for illicit drugs, and they're pretty clear cut about it. I mean, if you test positive, in many of these cases, you're just dismissed. So there is a place for a policy. There's a place for the right policy, and we haven't got it yet.
We're running a poll at Hungry for Sport. Just go to at Hungry for Sport, the Twitter account. Does the AFL need an illicit drugs policy at all? At the moment, yes, says 59%. No, says 41%. Tom's out on the road. G'day, Tom.
Hey, good morning, boys. Look, you talk about. I think there's only one way, one system the AFL understand. That's the dollar, the big dollars. And if you want to change something, it literally has to be from the people. From the people down. You're not happy with something, bums on seats. You don't go to the games until things are changed the way they should be changed. Mm. The stuff with the drugs that I work in an industry where I see a lot of it, it's a systematic society these days, and the AFL is just a reflection of that. So for me, I mean, if you name and shame them, it's a bit like the drink driving. Within a year, they start to brag about it. It starts to become something of a almost like a trophy. Oh yeah, I got done for 6 weeks and I beat the system. You know, so I don't know if that necessarily works. I think the zero policy. I think you pay good money. You're given all the tools to apply your trade. And if you stuff that up, you stuff it up. So, but make no mistake. The day that the people, and the same with the gambling. I mean, it's a hypocrisy that they, you know, you can gamble on football, but like you said, if a player gambles, there's repercussions. It's a hypocrisy. The only way you change it is through bums on seats, and people have to start, you know, making a bit of a stand, and maybe only then things will change. But that's all the AFL listen to, mate. It's just a dollar for me.
Well, is there a double standard there? It's a very good call, Tom. Is there a double standard?
With gambling and
we fill these places with poker machines. And the money they clubs get off poker machines is extraordinary, and we know that people become absolutely addicted to them, and the AFL pushes them and pushes them and pushes them. It is an outrageous double standard.
We'll take a quick break. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number. If you want to send through an SMS, 0433 98 1116. Some coming through. Pat is saying, come on, Kev, we all know the current policy is simply don't get caught in public. Other than that, it's open slather. Ian says drug policy is fine, only amendment should be clubs no strike one. Rod says no, if they have it in their system on game day and Asada manages to amazingly stumble across one in 3 million, then bad luck. We can then watch them disintegrate like Cousins, and that may shake a few up. Others are saying, I couldn't care less if the AFL players take illicit drugs. Everyone in society takes drugs, Pat.
Well, that's a silly comment.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls this hour, all thanks to Open Corp. Invest in property and be mentored for life. For fun.
2016 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Hungry for sport? With Kevin Bartlett, for Linda Forklifts, material handling equipment experts for Australian businesses, and Mercedes-Benz Brighton. Think Mercedes-Benz? Think Mercedes-Benz Brighton.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. Just shut your mouth.
Yes, Gibberish of the Week, Patrick's famous award, always brought to you by Kia Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Patrick, I know people try all the time because you believe now it's become the most prestigious award.
Oh, it is, Kevin.
On radio.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, it's bigger than the Nobel Prizes now, Kevin. Don't worry about that. It's making me a fortune on the side too. Don't worry about that as well.
Because people are paying you to get nominated.
Absolutely, yes. Kevin. I've got no morals.
Because it gives them credibility. It puts them into the public spotlight.
People talk about them,
People
Kevin.
Talk about them.
Yeah, they get a persona.
Okay.
Now we say you know, doesn't know his left hand from his right. This one is a variation on that theme.
Doug, that's just extreme confidence in his left foot. I'm not mistaken by saying he's a right footer, isn't he, Tabernet?
Yep.
And that's a fair way out.
And I like it.
On the left.
Well, I like it because not too many players in the modern game use their opposite side leg.
He's good on both sides, Leggy.
Yeah. He's looking for local knowledge. Both of us are under the desk.
I was looking for a bit of love off Baz there, but I'm 99% certain he's a right footer, and that was a beautiful goal on the left.
Through the middle of the ground, he puts the ball out in front of Tabernet again. On the left foot it is.
Well, there you go.
Well, does he kick left foot or does he kick right foot?
We're still not sure, but it's a compliment to the player.
Yes.
Isn't it?
We need people to tell us, is Tabernet a left foot or a right foot kick?
Because I don't think...
Can't recall.
I don't think our commentators quite nailed it. Now, Kevin, this one happens to everybody where we stumble over words and... Not sure whether it's day or night.
It's called a slip of the tongue, Pat.
Yeah, slip of the tongue. Here it goes.
Kick inside the 50. Maybe one last chance for Pavlich. McDonald over the top. Is that a really good game? Night, Tom McDonald.
He gave it his best shot. He wasn't going to leave it until he got it right.
Well, I reckon it was great by Julian to stoop then because he just powered on, Pat.
That's right.
He said, I'll get this right. Once the mind clicks in.
We might be here for another hour, but I'm going to nail it.
We're going to get it. Good on you, Julian. Well done.
Now, the next one, Kevin, is... Oh, yes, this is a beautiful one. Disappointing crowd figures. How you can be just devastated by disappointing crowd figures if you don't do your arithmetic.
Righto.
There's only going to be 59,000 there tonight, I believe, and the Swans would get 60,000 every day of the week if this was a Friday night game.
So on a Friday night, that was Russell Burrick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you get 60,000 on a Friday night. But if it's played on a Thursday night...
You only get 59, it's a disaster. Now,
well, 1,000 is a lot of people in Sydney, Pat.
True, that's true, Kevin.
You've got to realise that.
Yes. Now, the last one we go to, Mark Robinson's calculator corner. We remember Professor Robbo is a mathematical genius, so we've named this segment after him. He's not in it. But one of our regulars is. Just listen to Richo have a go at this.
So 146 teammates over his career he's played with. He's sung the song with 138 of the 146. And here he is, 146 teammates. How many do you think you went through, Darcy, Richo?
No idea. It's a big number, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon if you start your career and you've got 21 other teammates and then... I don't know, 25 a year maybe, and then four or five new ones from there each year for 10 years. Oh, I've got no idea. What am I talking about? A lot, though.
It's starting to make a little bit of sense.
Oh, you just tailed right off. Should have pulled out. I didn't know where I was going with that.
Well, Richo did well then.
Isn't that fantastic?
He did that well.
He is fantastic, Richo. He's good. I enjoy his commentary.
Yes.
I just don't use him to do my bills.
So Matthew Richardson is the gibberish of the week?
Yes, he most certainly is.
Well done too, to Richo. Michael joins us in Spotswood. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, good morning, gents. Look, just back quickly on the drugs matter.
Yep.
There's two words that come into play for my mind, and that's safety and deceit. Now, if you go down the path of no drug policy at all, what you're risking is the safety of players and staff at a club when some bloke comes high as a kite during the week and potentially is violent or acting a bit silly. So that's why I'm for a drugs policy. But what I'm not for, and this is why I support zero tolerance, I'm not for the deceit that follows the existing regime. So that's why we need to change.
But just on that, your comments there, Michael, high as a kite at training. Now, surely... these are full-time footballers. They've got the full-time staff down there all the time. You've got 10 coaches down there monitoring these players. You've got doctors and physiotherapists. Surely if someone turns up as high as a kite, Pat, he's not going to do any damage to his teammates because he's going to get spotted. Surely he's going to get spotted before he takes out eight blokes on the training track.
No,
high on ice, as you suggested.
No, I'm with Michael there. I think that you need that safety net of... A drugs policy that would make them think twice about lobbying at a club in an unfit...
Well, wouldn't that make clubs more diligent because they keep saying, we should be the ones that know? So if someone's acting really, really strange at training or around the club, surely they're going to pick up on it and they're going to act on it.
Well, West Coast didn't.
Well, were they acting strange around the club when they were down the club?
Well, Kevin, I
you can only assume that they weren't going around taking out each other at training, if that's the case.
No, I think we can pretty well assume that West Coast had a major problem that it was unable to see or unable to act on. Not that the drug policy helped them much, I must admit.
Okay. 59% says yes. Does the AFL need an illicit drugs policy at Hungry for Sport? No, at 41%. Mark's in Craigieburn. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, good morning, Pat. Good morning, KB.
Good morning.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a gripe. My brother's got cancer. He barracks for Hawthorn. He's been a member for 40 years plus, and he's been in the cheer squad for about 15 years. I wanted a player to come out to see him at a hospital, and they won't come out and see him.
When you say won't come out to see him, that would be surprising to me, Mark, because football clubs are very, very sympathetic to these sorts of requests. Have you actually spoke to anyone at Hawthorn?
Ring them five times. This particular person said no.
Well, look, I tell you, Mark, just leave your number there and we'll give Hawthorn a call because that seems very, very odd to me. I'm not quite certain whether you're getting through to the right people because football clubs, as I said before, are very, very good under these circumstances and I'm just assuming that there's just something not quite right.
A breakdown in communication.
There's a breakdown
there.
Somewhere. So, Mark, if you leave your number there, I'll get my producer to call Hawthorn and see what the situation is. And I'm pretty certain that Hawthorn, as they would with many, many people and all the other clubs as well, would only be too willing to help our people under these circumstances. Justin is in Kilmore. G'day, Justin.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Justin.
Just two things, just quickly. I'm totally with you, Pat, just in regards to we do need a policy, but it has to be zero tolerance. I mean, because the last thing the AFL do want is another West Coast debacle. But I also believe that the AFL appear to be want to be the front runners in domestic violence against women. They want to be front runners in discrimination, whether it be racial or homophobic. But yet, when it comes to drugs within their own sport and their own fraternity, it appears that they somewhat take some sort of a back step and don't want to be a front runner in that sort of industry.
Well, they claim they are a front runner, and they'd claim, well, our policy was world's best practice, Kevin's favourite phrase, when it was introduced, and that other competitions around the world have followed suit. I'm not convinced of that. I think it's an easy claim to make. They see themselves as a powerful force within society to be able to, because of their strength and their position within the community, they can have a very powerful effect on social issues, such as domestic violence. But what they're doing with the drug policy, you've just got to remember, it's there for brand protection. It wants to keep everything in-house so it doesn't get out and doesn't... That's the one thing they don't want to be seen as, is a competition conflicted with drugs, afflicted by a drug problem. So it's there as brand protection.
But we won't know there's a drug problem, Pat, unless they get caught on match day through WADA or WSADA.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They cover the whole thing up within this policy. So we never know how many they've got, Kevin. They may have 50 people on first strikes because they don't even release the figures now. They used to at least release the figures. Now they don't release the figures. So we don't know how many people have tested positive, once, twice, three, four. So it's a complete cover-up.
This hour, all thanks to Open Corp. Invest in property and be mentored for life. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls. Also coming up, Michelangelo Rucci is going to join us. Neil Cordy also. Daily Telegraph have the latest on the Sydney Swans. Phil Rockner, Steve Salisbury, and then Dr. Turf, you know, will be quirky. Double pass to Collingwood versus North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium this Friday night. Included is the dinner to the President's Function pre-game. These tickets are valued at $425 each, so $850 for the double. All thanks to Subway for the warm and hearty steak, bacon and cheese sub. Pat, just before we go back to our callers, you've got an exclusive story in The Australian today saying stewards to have the last word on Ride Guide. And you actually tell us the immediate future of Australian racing could be decided at a meeting today, and the standoff could result in industrial action taken by jockeys and striking.
That's right, Kevin. This is a very, very big issue that's blowing up as we go, as the days go. What it is, the jockeys, through Chris Simon, who's a really entrepreneurial, really effervescent thinker, and good on him, has got this idea that the jockeys will sell their tips to Ladbrokes. And for that,
Are they called tips? Would they be selling tips, Pat? You're not allowed to tip as a jockey, are you?
No, you're not. But I think they pretty much go close to tips. But let's say a service,
okay,
an assessment of the race, and an assessment of how their horse will go. And on Ladbrokes, on the weekend, which was the first weekend, you could click onto the jockey silks, and up would come a video of the jockey saying what he thought the race would do, etc. Now, the stewards dead set against this, Kevin, because they believe, A, it makes this jockey information exclusive to the select few punters who use Ladbroke. They don't like the exclusivity. They certainly don't. It's a breach of rule of Racing 83 to earn money without, for a jockey to earn money without the...
Away from racing
without the steward's permission. Now, the stewards are unlikely to give permission to a bookmaker paying a jockey. So they're at a standoff. Now, there's the jockeys are unlikely to give up an income stream, Kevin, mm-hmm, easily. The stewards are not going to hand over what they believe are transparency and integrity issues. They're not going to let those roll over on those. So you have two bodies essentially at loggerheads. And we know that the jockeys went on strike so that they could hit a horse more regularly. So they'll have no problem going on strike on this issue if they can't get their hands on that money. And at the moment, I can't see how racing will give them the permission to go ahead with Ride Guide, it's called. So this is going to, I think, blow up into a very, very serious issue within racing.
Well, Dr. Turf's going to join us from 11 o'clock.
Yes, I had a good discussion with Dr. Turf on Saturday.
Turfy about this.
He thinks it's a good idea. So he has got some strong points on it. Strong views on it, so it'd be interesting to discuss it with Turf.
Okay, so Dr. Turf, as everyone knows, quirky and can be very antagonistic, and he'll join us from 11, so we'll ask him about Ride Guide. Dockers is in Dramana. G'day, Dockers.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you.
2 points really quickly. I think the AFL should be adopting an NFL-style policy in the fact that
you get tested or found with drugs on you, you're gone for a quarter of the season straight up with a big fine. You take a quarter of the season away from an AFL player, that's stuff them for the season, essentially.
Well, we don't have zero. Well, at the moment, we don't.
Is that their policy for sure?
I think it's based around that. I don't think they have an actual strike policy. I think it's just you get found with drugs, you're done because they've only got 16 games. It's four games.
I'll tell you what I'll do on that, Justin. Dockers, I should say. Steve Soles is going to join us also, and I'll ask Steve about what is the NFL policy regarding drugs. You're suggesting that obviously they can be rubbed out for
a quarter of the season, four matches. Yeah.
So we'll check out that with Steve Soles when he joins us in the second hour of the program as well. Pat, always great to catch up. We'll speak soon.
See you, Kev.
Coming up, we'll talk some footy with Michelangelo Rucci and Neil Cordy from the Daily Telegraph, what's taking place up in Sydney. And don't forget Dr. Turf from 11.